My name's Karen Dolly, and I'm an author and journalist at Daily Maverick. For years now, I've been investigating the phenomenal story of a one-time anti-apartheid intelligence operative who became one of the most critical policing figures in South Africa. He's headed units that have been under immense fire from all sides. This story involves spycraft, smear campaigns, dodgy politicians, backstabbing, bullets, and betrayal. At the center of this is retired policeman Andre Lincoln. In June 1996, Nelson Mandela wrote a letter to George Fivers. He was Democratic South Africa's first national police commissioner. And the letter Mandela wrote was basically instructing him to set up an investigation unit. This was known as the Presidential Investigation Task Unit, P2 for short. The P2 was set up to investigate suspicions and allegations along the lines of whether a suspected mafioso at the time from Italy named Vito Palazzolo was perhaps connected to or had dodgy relations with some government officials. This is a clip narrated by an AI-generated voice of the Supreme Court of Appeal judgment.
During 1996, Lincoln received information relating to Mr. Vito Palazzolo, allegedly a highly placed member of the Italian mafia who was resident in Cape Town. It suggested the existence of mutually beneficial and corrupt relationships between him and a high-ranking officer in the SAPS and also a minister in the National Cabinet. Lincoln prepared and delivered a presentation on the issue to the state president, Mr. Nelson Mandela. The outcome was that a Presidential Investigative Task Unit, PITU, was established. Lincoln was the commander of this unit. The mandate of the PITU was to investigate the affairs of Palazzolo and those associated with him, including his alleged links to the criminal underworld of Cape Town. The investigation was assigned the code name Operation Intrigue.
P2's Operation Intrigue in particular was meant to look into Cape Town's nightlife and whether there were some dubious links between so-called underworld figures, organized crime suspects, and police officers. In 1996, Andre Lincoln was the police officer appointed to head the P2. While he was heading it, things did not go too well. He was basically accused of being a criminal. He ended up being criminally convicted and he was kicked out of the police service. Here is retired South African policeman Andre Lincoln in an interview we did with him in his home in September 2024.
If I look back at my career, then I've spent it fighting for my survival. Really, what have I done that's made some people so full of hatred? Some of them I've never ever spoken to in my life. But they have such huge comments to make. Even now, the fight still goes on. It's just an unreal, long, long fight.
Never and never again shall it be that this beautiful land will again experience the oppression of one by another and suffer the...
In 1994, Nelson Mandela became president. Among those ensuring his security at the time was Andre Lincoln. Under apartheid, Lincoln was an ANC intelligence operative.
My first posting after the democratic elections was to the NIA. When Joe and Tlantla said to us that this is what we're going to do, he pointed at me and says, I've chosen him because he's got the character that could even arrest his own father if he did wrong. I was based in Pretoria. At NICOC, I was the police's representative on the National Intelligence Estimate Board. And a report came from Cape Town that the head then of the police's organized crime department was actually a close friend of Vito Palazzolo. A known mafia man, a known apartheid agent.
Palazzolo was never convicted of any crime in South Africa.
I discussed it then with the head of NICOC. Eventually it landed up with Mandela. And that is when Mandela said, I have to be released from everything I'm doing in Pretoria and come to Cape Town and take overall responsibility for everything.
So while he was heading the P2, Some colleagues of Andre Lincoln's suspected, or they purported to suspect, it depends on who you believe, that he was actually colluding with some of the suspects he was meant to be investigating. On the flip side, Andre Lincoln countered that he was actually being framed, he was being set up, because the investigations he was heading were leading back to the state.
Our job was to gather intelligence through a covert structure. Nothing that we did went onto the police system. We had our own laptops, our own computers. In 1996, the Western Cape was still a National Party-controlled province. All the top management in the police were all old guard cops. They assumed I was there to investigate them. And they then concocted all these stories and etc. It ended up in me being arrested on the 18th of February 1998.
His criminal trial dislodged some astounding claims linked to exceptionally high-ranking government figures, including former President Thabo Mbeki. The P2, meanwhile, the unit he was heading, collapsed, and along with it, so did several of the investigations it was meant to be pushing ahead with. Andre Lincoln was eventually convicted on the 18th of November 2002 on 17 counts, 15 of which were related to fraud, and he was sentenced to 9 years in jail. He avoided jail time because he appealed his convictions.
I was finally cleared on I think it was the 10th of February in 2010. A long, long time.
Basically, he was exonerated and he was reabsorbed into the South African Police Service. So the saga seems done, dusted, finished, a thing of the past. What happened, happened. Here's the thing, that's not quite the case. In fact, this time around, things turned outright sinister and tragic. So Lincoln filled various policing units once he was back in the service, and in 2018 he was appointed to head the anti-gang unit, and that was based in the Western Cape, which, as we know, is South Africa's gangsterism epicenter.
I was extremely excited. We spoke about the issues of gangsterism, not gang violence. Gang violence was a very small part of the complete picture around gangsterism. We spoke about having the Department of Justice on board, the Department of Correctional Services, education, health, social services, all of us forming a body that dealt with gangsterism.
On the 2nd of November 2018, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa launched the anti-gang unit in Hanover Park in Cape Town.
We are here to say that the national government, and indeed the provincial government, as well as the police ministry and department, have heard you. We have listened to your pleas for help, and we can say that today we are here to take action. We declare today to the gangsters that we are not afraid of you. In fact, we are coming after you. We are going to pursue you. We are going to chase you down. We are going to find you in every little corner where you are hiding. We are going to implement it, and this means that it is jail time for gangsters. This is the end of your road. This is the end of you terrorizing our communities.
Like I always am, I got into it. Hook, line and sinker, we started hammering at gangs. Within the first few months, we made a massive impact on the murders on the Cape Flats. The unit was driven. Nobody looked at the clock. Sometimes people would come off duty and something would happen in Lavender Hill or Elsie's River, and I phone them and they come right back. But I started realizing that the launch of the anti-gang unit and the fact that it was launched in Hanover Park and the fact that such a big issue was made of the murder of the gifts of the givers worker, Mirodin, all those things were nothing more than an election ploy. Okay? The fact that we were supposed to consist of uniformed members, detectives, intelligence, forensics, all under one umbrella or one roof, so to say, it never happened. The fact that we were promised a budget that we never ever got. Even up to today, the anti-gang unit is probably the most under-resourced unit. As much as the public saw this emergence of this elite unit, there was nothing elite about it. Shortly after its launch, it was simply turned into a crime prevention unit. Because then we were told, oh, there's a double murder in Steenberg. While you're there, there's another murder here. So the resources were being thinned out all the time. But the result is that you can't really be effective. Right? You can't really knock anybody hard enough to say that you've made a dent in gang activity. You were catching your normal street scully, but you weren't getting to the top.
Here is a clip from ENCA of Andre Lincoln, then Major General in Police and Commander of the Anti-Gang Unit, on 20th of March, 2019.
And how do you run from one area to the other, knowing that you can't sustain the entire Cape Flats?
Yes. I think what we must be very clear of, Yusuf, we are working currently in 16 gang areas. Because that is where the heart of the problem is. We cannot do the work of the stations. So the stations still have to police. Even here in Hanover Park, where we have a very active presence, the station still needs to do the day-to-day policing.
For me, for as long as we didn't get to the top, the guns would keep flowing, the drugs would keep flowing, and we'd be rendered useless in that sense.
The anti-gang unit, meanwhile, was looking into whether certain corrupt cops were creating fraudulent firearm licenses for suspects. So, in other words, they were looking into whether police officers were part of a chain involved in effectively arming assassins. One of the members of the anti-gang unit was Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kinnear. In September 2020, Charles Kinnear was murdered in Cape Town. He was assassinated. Fast forward to 2024, and among those on trial in connection with Charles Kinnear's killing is organized crime suspect Nafeez Modak. Modak has denied the accusations, the criminal charges against him. Modak was acquainted with, in fact, by all accounts, he was quite close to an individual by the name of Cyril Beaker. Beaker, who was murdered in Cape Town in 2011, was a rumored intelligence agent. Much like Modak, Beaker was also prominent in nightclub security focused on Cape Town city centre. In the days of the P2, Beaker and his associates were said to have basically enforced their purported security on venues and establishments. Nafeez Modak, meanwhile, faced similar accusations to those that Beaker had faced, and he was sent off a court case relating to those accusations, and he was actually acquitted in that. This was prior to the Charles Kinnear murder case. So about 6 years ago, around 2017 or 2018, in that previous case in which Modak was accused of sort of strong-arming his way into security operations, Charles Kinnear had testified. Kinnear had said, Cyril Beaker at the time is doing exactly what Nafeez Modak is doing now. Andre Lincoln has investigated both these individuals. Lincoln is now retired from the South African Police Service. As of September 2024, he was set to be a witness in the trial against Nafeez Modak and co. That's the trial that is hinged on Charles Kinnear's 2020 assassination. But what does all this mean? It's clear that there have been investigations into suspicions of rogue policing that seems to be weirdly entwined with private security operations centered on the nightlife in Cape Town city centre and further afield. And these investigations have spanned decades. These are just some of the murky themes my new book, Man Alone, Mandela's Top Cop, Exposing South Africa's Ceaseless Sabotage, explores.
You know, in 2021, just before I retired in October, from the beginning of the year until October, at our old house in Kelsriver, we had 11 firearm incidents at the house. Now, you realize that, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Fortunately, my time wasn't up yet. As late as last week, Thursday, Shireen and myself went to CTM, and when we pulled up there, the security guard at the gate came running to us, saying, "This car is following you." But Shireen was on the phone and she looked at him, and I don't know if they thought that we had seen them and that we were calling for backup, but they sped out of the yard like in a flash. It would be an exaggeration to say that it troubled me. That is what I got used to. I got used to that kind of life.
This episode was written and narrated by Karen Dolly and produced by Bernard Kotze, Malibongwe Thielo, and Emily Gambard. Please rate us, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you value in-depth investigations like these, consider becoming a Maverick Insider. By contributing what you can, you help us bring important stories like these to light. Go to dailymaverick.co.za/insider for more.